See you this morning. I trust that you had a good Christmas, like Brother Chris said. You know, as we grow older, Christmas looks a little different sometimes, doesn't it? We've all been there at different varying levels. We've been there. And so we had a good day yesterday, but it looked a little different. For some reason, Lennox took most of our attention. I can't figure that out, but she did. Yeah. I mean, good night. Stole the whole show all day long, you know, but God's good. And so we do the best that we can to enjoy all these different phases of life. Amen. It's not too easy sometimes, but we still serve a God that's gracious, and we still serve a God that's good. And so we look forward to these times. So I trust that you had a good one. And Brother Chris is also right about the new year. Well, I was thinking about that. January 1st is rolling around, and so not just church attendance, but, you know, the study of God's Word, the reading of God's Word. Got a chance once again to start over and be faithful to it. So we like starting over. Sometimes we need it. Let's turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Last week we talked about Christmas presents that we unwrapped from John 1. And I'm not sure if I'm how long I will continue in John. It's a great book, and I love being in the book of John. But one of the things that John told us is summarized, if you will, really well in the very last verse of this book. And let me read that to you, John 20:31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So just for a few minutes this morning, we're going to talk about belief in a number of different ways. But believing, what does it mean? And so last week when we talked about this, we unwrapped 7 different Christmas presents from John 1. And the first one is that God came out of eternity to meet me and you. He came out of eternity in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, to meet us. And what an awesome thought that is. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what a blessing we have because of that right there. The second present we looked at that we unwrapped from this chapter is God created this entire world, the galaxy, the entire universe, to provide a way for the first present to happen. We didn't know what was going on, obviously, but he did. He put together this creation so he could send his Son, so he could meet you, Linda, and me, Dwayne, and Albert. So that was the second Christmas present that we unwrapped last week. The third one was God's gift of life. And we saw how in the book of Ephesians and the book of Romans that if we had not accepted God's gracious gift of salvation, that we were dead in trespasses and sin. And through Jesus Christ, we get the gift of life. And it's very clear from Scripture, if we're not a child of God, then we're living in death. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But Paul told the Ephesians, that the Ephesian believers, in you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Our fourth Christmas present that we unwrapped was the gift of light. Similarly, just like life, if we haven't trusted in the Lord, we're living in darkness. Verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And that little word comprehended just simply means to take in. So let's talk about that for just a minute. We can have 2 twin brothers, and they're alike in every way, in their thought pattern, in their belief system, their intelligence level. 2 twin brothers, but one has accepted God's gift of light, and the other one hasn't. Well, what's different about that? Well, the first twin brother has his gift of salvation from God. And because of that, God has given to him his Holy Spirit, which brings life and which brings light. So although these two guys are the same, The second guy cannot take it in. He knows the facts of God's gift of life. He knows the facts of what happened on the cross. But because his heart does not have the light that the Holy Spirit sheds in his heart, he can't take it in. The darkness comprehends not the light. It's a matter of what's in the head and what's in the heart. And that was our fourth Christmas present. And the fifth one that we came to was salvation and free pardon to all who will ask. I love verse number 12, Valerie. Put John 1:12 up on the screen. But as many as received him. Now, is that qualified? Is there an exception there? No. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Boy, that should encourage our hearts that no matter who it is that walks through that door back there, no matter who it is that seeks the gift of life through Jesus Christ, he can have it. She can have it. And that's an encouraging thought. And then the second part of that fifth Christmas present is this right here, that it can only happen through the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 13. Which were born not of blood, and that just means you can't inherit it. You don't get a title passed down from your mommy and daddy that makes you a Christian. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. That's effort. That's good works. You can't work for this. You can't do this with great effort and get it. No, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. That's training or education, instruction. You can't get it all three of those ways, but only way you can get it is of God. You see, nothing short of God's Spirit is capable of making us a child of God. The sixth present we unwrapped last week was once we come to Christ and once we rely upon him, there's nothing else needed. That's another great thought. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we looked at that word full, and it just means you can't add any more. He's all we need. There ain't nothing else that we need to do. God's taken care of it. Now, the tendency we have is to think, well, since Jesus was a man, he couldn't have been 100% God. He couldn't have been 100% God because he was a man and he had the limitations of a man. And that verse just says just the opposite. He dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He had all that was required. That was Jesus. And then in verse 16, it says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. So not only did God give his Son everything he needed to be the Son of God and everything he needed to be our sacrifice and the giver of life, but when we believe him in him and we become a child of God, he gives us all that we need to be and grace for grace. We've received that simply because he came down here and dwelt among us. And that dwelt, remember what that means? He pitched a tent next to our tent. He came down here and got to know us. He came down here and got to know mankind so we could see him and so that we could trust in him and become a child of God. And that was our sixth Christmas present that we unwrapped. And the seventh one and the last one that we looked at was this right here. Everything, are you listening? Are you listening? Everything that we need to know about God and everything that we need from God is found in the person of his Son. Why are you emphasizing all that? We know that. Well, I'm just emphasizing it because you can go in any town and you can find a half dozen, maybe a dozen, maybe 20, maybe 100 different ways that they say you can be saved. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You got to do this. You got to believe in this. You got to believe in this man or this woman. And if we listen to God's word, if we trust what God's word says, we find out that we have to come through Christ. The only way. Verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And, you know, we looked at that word bosom, and it's a special word. It's a close word. It's, one writer said, it's similar to the love of a parent and a son, or a husband and a wife, but it goes so much deeper because it's an eternal love. And it's a love that keeps on loving. It goes forth from grace and love to grace and love, and our Lord is in the bosom of his Father, and there's a bond there that we cannot understand. He's in the bosom of his Father. And then he says, he hath declared him. And that word declared simply means he's brought him out in the open. Why? So we could see him, so we could understand him. What a great thought. Here God, Creator God, out of eternity past, Creator of the universe, everything that we know, the galaxy, he comes to this earth, he becomes a man, and brings God out into the open so we can believe in him. Boy, what a thought that is. What a thought that is. Now let's just think about that word believe for just a minute. As Brother Chris says, I'm not on, Valerie, and I need to walk away from this mic. We got to talk about this word believe for just a minute. She's moving slow. Lennox wore her yesterday, so she's moving a little bit slow today. She's not all here. Let's talk about believe. And I was blessed this week when I was reading this. And I guess I probably know a lot of this stuff, but we don't think about it. And here's what I found out about the word believe. In the Bible, the word believe is always followed by a preposition. Believe in, believe on, believe upon. And what it tells us is there's one kind of belief. Funeral service right over there. And remember, we had two chairs over here, beautiful chairs, and two chairs over here, antique-ish style chairs, decorated, beautiful, beautiful old chairs. But let me tell you, the legs were about this thin, and I was about this wide, and those two things don't go together. Well, I found out later from some of the men in the church that they had broken several times. And so here we're in this service, this funeral service, and Brother Chris asked me to do the opening prayer and the eulogy and then read a scripture. And so I finished what I did and came down here over here and sat down, and I went to the ground in that service. So this example means something to me, Linda. I'm going to stand here next to this chair right here, and I'm going to say, I believe that this chair will hold me up. I believe that this chair has got enough strength. Now, those legs, they look pretty stout. I mean, they're kind of tapered up, and they get wider at the top. So I believe that that chair is capable of holding me up. Now, that's a head knowledge. I have no idea if that chair is capable of holding me up or not, but I believe it is. That's a head knowledge. And that kind of belief right there is not what is in Scripture. That's the difference between this first twin right here and this second twin. One of them believed with his heart, and then one of them just heard words. And my words are, from my self-analysis, this looks pretty solid, and I'm going to say that this chair can probably hold me up. That's a head belief. That's a head knowledge. Now, it's a totally different thing if I go over here and I sit in this chair. Let me sit. Experiencing that this chair is strong enough to hold me up and it's not going to break when I sit in it. That's the believing in, or the believing into something. And it denotes a sense of action. There's something going on. I'm sitting in this chair and I have full confidence, Pat, that it's going to hold me up. Why do I have full confidence that it's going to hold me up? And the belief in Scripture is that there's a process of action taking place. And you are experiencing it. You're not, you don't have a head knowledge, but you're believing into something. Just like I'm believing, I'm sitting into this chair, I'm believing into this chair, and it's doing a good job of holding me up. Now let's ask ourselves. Are we resting in Him? As all of this stuff happens in our life from day to day, are we trusting Him? Do we have such a confidence? And I know there's no answers to these questions because we wake up tomorrow and something else new has happened and our world might be upside down. So this is a day-by-day thing. These answers change as we deal with things in our life and as our faith goes up and down in the Lord. But the kind of belief that John talks about in the Gospel of John is resting in the Lord and trusting in the God, believing in Him who paid for our sin. That's the kind of belief that's in this book. It's 5:2, I've got to move on. Let's look at verse 19. We're going to see what else John says about the Son of God. Look at verse 19. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Now, you know, if you think back with me for just a minute, John had an awesome opportunity here to get himself a good name. He could have got a following if he had answered this question. But he didn't. You guys are looking for the Messiah. You guys are looking for this leader that even Moses talked about way back in Deuteronomy 18. That's what he says. I am not the Christ. Very emphatic. He didn't beat around the bush. I am not the Christ. And we find John is humble about it. Look up at verse 15. We talked about this last week. Verse 15 says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is what? Preferred before me, for he was before me." John is a humble individual. And he's saying, I'm not even. In fact, later, we're going to see in chapter 3, if we get that far, we're going to see where John's disciples come to him and they ask him about himself and they ask him about Christ. And you know how he answers their question? He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus Christ must increase, and I must decrease." And I was thinking about that this week and I thought, this is what he wants from us today. That's what the Lord wants from us. John is being very humble. Why is that? Because both people can't be on top. If I increase and I don't get those things in my life out of the way that are hindering my relationship with the Lord, then He can't control my life. Then He can't make me what I got to be. Then He can't fulfill me to whatever fulfillment that He wants my life to be. If I'm always putting
position to be a man, a prophet that's raised among you, and he's going to lead you. And they're asking, these guys are asking John the Baptist, are you the young that Moses talked about? And he says, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? Why sayest thou of thyself? He said, so you're telling us who you're not, tell us who you are. And he says in verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I like that. He says, look guys, I'm another voice. John the Baptist was pleased being just a voice. He didn't need the statue. He didn't need to be preferred before anybody. He didn't need to be anything special but a voice. If you read the New Testament, especially the Gospels, you see that one of the things that, and maybe the most important things that our Lord wants us to be, is just a voice. Now,
there's some great Christian ministries and institutions that are apologetic. Way beyond me, but I can be a voice, and I can take whatever God has given me in the way of a voice, and I can speak for Him. And if I do that, and if I do it with a humble heart, God will honor me. I just be a voice. John said, I'm just a voice.
That's all I am. He says, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And what's he crying? Make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Esaias or Isaiah. That's Isaiah who that is. So he says, listen, I'm just saying, make straight the way of the Lord. Now, the opposite of straight is crooked, right? They're opposites. And so what John is telling them here, now, first of all, he's quoting from Isaiah, and I think I wrote that down right over here. Yeah, Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Okay, so John's saying, I'm just a voice, and what I'm supposed to say is, make straight. Take all the crooked stuff out of your heart. Get all the crooked things out of your life. Get all the crooked things out of your mind. And I was thinking, well, you know, one of the great messages for us today in this chapter is not only to be humble, but get those things out of our heart and out of our life and out of our mind that's coming between us and the Lord. You say, why is that? Well, 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And then the next two verses down says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a pretty important point, because if I have sin in my life and that sin is stopping a fellowship, it's stopping a good relationship from happening in my life between me and the Lord, then that's something I need to confess and get out of my heart. That's something I need to make straight. I need to make straight the way of the Lord. So John was humble and he was just a voice. And then he starts telling him to get all the crooked things out of his life. And then he continues, or it continues in verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not.
Now, I always wonder when I read this right here, if that's a general statement, like he's among you in this town, or if he's standing right there in the group. We don't know. It's possible John was talking to these guys, and the Lord was just a few feet away. You could take it both ways. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. What's that mean? Well, they tell us the rule of the day was a servant was obliged to do everything that his master told him to do, whatever it was. But now a disciple, a follower, a disciple had to do everything, any task, except taking the leather string that was attaching the shoe or the sandal to the foot. Now that's just, I don't understand that, but that was an exception that he didn't have to do that. And John simply making a statement, he said, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He says, I'm not a disciple. I'm just a servant, but I'm not even worthy to be a servant. I'm not even worthy to do what I do. So he's a very humble man, and he continues in verse 20, or it continues in verse 28. These things were done in Bethabara, behind Jordan, where John was baptizing. And then the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So here he's talking to the Lord, and he's saying, I see you, Lord. I see who you are. You're the man. That is currently taking. That, you know what's interesting is that word taketh is present tense. It's an ongoing present tense. So he takes away, he's taking away the sin of the world, and John acknowledges that fact. Many, many years ago, before this happened, Abraham had told Isaac to come out to the woods. You know this story, where he was going to offer his son as a sacrifice. And they got out there to where they were going to do it, and Isaac says something. He says, look, you've brought me out here, and I'm paraphrasing this. I see the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering that we're going to do? And what did Abraham say? He said, son, God's going to provide us a lamb. Well, here John's looking off, and he sees Jesus Christ coming to him. And by the way, these Old Testament scriptures, these Jews knew very well. They were very aware of these stories in the Old Testament. And John looks at the Lord and says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it meant something to him. That was, here this man is coming, our Lord is coming, and he's capable of taking away the entire sin of the whole world. And then he continues in verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. Now would you take your Bible real quick and go over to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. We're just going to look at that incident. An incident there. And John is talked about in a number of ways in the four Gospels, not a different ways, but we see different details about him, if you will. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John is just simply saying, look, guys, I'm baptizing with water, but he who's coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, the fire there is the fire of judgment at the end times. When all this is over, there'll be a judgment, and there'll be a baptism of fire. That's not happened yet. But he also says, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Well, as you know, when a child becomes a child of God, he's baptized with God's Spirit. God's Spirit is put into that person. And also, on the day of Pentecost, the church was baptized with God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon the church. And so if you keep reading, verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or he let him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist had a front row seat, not only to the baptism of Jesus Christ, but the heavens being opened and the Spirit of God descending upon the Lord Jesus Christ like a dove. Wow. And so John is here in our text, and he's saying, look, I'm baptizing with water, but there's somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming after me, and he's going to be baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And verse 32 in our text back in John 1 says, And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. That's just what we read in Matthew. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. See, why did you take us to Matthew 3 and read that account? Well, that's going to be an important thing that we need to see next week. We're going to see in John 1, in the remainder of John 1, we're going to see something that's very relevant to the angels of God ascending and descending upon Jesus Christ. We're going to see that God the Father looked down at God the Son and so approved of him and so speaks through him and so moves through him. And we're going to see how that's played out in the story that we see. Go home and read the rest of John. John 1. That'd be a task to read the book, but read John 1 and come back next Sunday and let's talk about the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Very interesting. And John, I tell you what, John the Baptist was firsthand to all of this. Isn't that something? That's just amazing. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you.